This pre-recorded program is sponsored by Biomed Rx Incorporated.
Hello to all the beautiful people here in the Inland Empire in Southern California. This is Biomed RX Radio. I am your host, Devin Lockett. And today we have a very special guest. She is a best-selling author, hypnotherapist, and life coach, and sex coach, from what I understand. Her name is Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. And she's the author of the book Orgasm for Life, among others. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Devin.
Welcome to Biomed RX Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. It's nice having you on the show. I don't know where to begin. You know, when I first found out that you were a sex coach, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I was envisioning, wow, someone in a nightgown with a stopwatch and a whistle.
No whistles.
No whistles. Okay. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and your history and what it is that you do.
Okay. So the way I got into this work was through pain, my own personal pain.
Wow.
And I had lots of sexual trauma in my childhood, and I ended up being a victim in my adulthood, attracting men that would victimize me. And
oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's okay, because it's a means to an end. It brought me to this beautiful place, and I'm very happy to be where I'm at. Mm-hmm. So now what I do is I help women predominantly, but also men, mm-hmm. to be happy, because we're not our past. Our past doesn't define us, but what it does is it gives us a catalyst to do deep soul work and to get to know who we truly are.
Yes, I understand how sometimes the imprints of what happens to us in our young life puts us in an energy space where we seem to be attracting that same type of, unfortunately, abuse or the same type of trauma. I found myself in similar situations in my life, to be candid. So how did you evolve beyond that? How did you find your way through that?
Well, like I said, I had lots of pain, but not just pain. I had a lot of illness. I had sinus infections, fibromyalgia, depression, anxiety, so many issues with my health. And I went to doctor after doctor looking for answers. And I was told by a doctor that I read too much.
That you read too many books?
That I was reading too much.
Wow. A doctor.
Yes.
An educated person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I asked too many questions.
Oh,
I
really?
Questioned everything. Yes. Okay. So I have this belief that if we are told, you know, we have 6 months to live, and it's like a poof, a magic wand, and we believe that we have 6 months to live, or we could say, well, that's not part of my reality. I choose something different. Well, I chose something different.
Yes.
I was told I'd have fibromyalgia the rest of my life, and it was painful. I didn't want that. Mm. And now today, I live pain-free. I've overcome breast cancer, tumors, like I said, anxiety, depression, and okay. a lot of other things. So everybody has the ability to overcome illnesses. The issue is to believe that we have the power to heal.
That's a very, very profound statement, belief. Belief has a lot to do with how we create our reality. You know, incredible. Did your journey involve one-on-one psychotherapy or group or anything like that?
Early on, I did do one-on-one psychotherapy, and then I went into group. And that was a huge turning point for me, because I was in a room with a bunch of women that had way more trauma than I did. I mean, horrible things, and we don't need to go into what the horror is, but just to know that there are other people out there that have worse suffering than us, you know, it's, you know, we may have had horrible trauma, but you know, there's people out there that are quadriplegic. So
yes,
when we start thinking, I want something better, I know there's something better out there. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was, early when I was in my teens, I read the book Siddhartha.
Siddhartha. And who was the author of Siddhartha?
Oh, goodness.
It's okay. I'll look it up. Siddhartha. It's a very good
Siddhartha.
Book.
Siddhartha. Yes, okay. It's about Buddha. It's the story of Buddha.
Okay.
And that book changed my life. In that book, you know, they talked about enlightenment, and that's what I wanted. So when I went on this soul quest to grow and evolve beyond the pain, and the pain was the catalyst for something better, something greater, I recognized I didn't love myself.
Ah, you came in touch with the fact that you were lacking in self-love.
Yes.
As are many of us.
And when I healed that, I healed codependency.
Yes.
I healed all my illnesses, depression, anxiety. And I'll say, okay, so I can hear people saying, well, how did she do that? Well, the first thing, yes, I went to lots of different people, therapists, and I discovered hypnotherapy. And then I became a hypnotherapist.
Wow. Hypnotherapy. Yeah. Okay.
I tried acupuncture. No, I didn't become an acupuncturist, but it is one of my favorite healing modalities. I did chiropractic, lots of different healing therapies. And I tried one thing after another. And energy work is what really did the trick for me.
Now, when you say energy work, what specifically are you referring to?
Well, we all have, you know, an energy field, an auric field.
An aura, yes.
And we are made of energy. Our thoughts are energy. Mm-hmm. Our hearts create, you know, a magnetic field. We are energy. So when we have a thought and we have an emotion, good, bad, or different, it creates energy. And what happens is when we have trauma, this fight, fright, or flee syndrome, right?
The fight or flight response,
right?
Yes.
And then emotions get trapped in our body. And when emotions are trapped in our body, they create blocks.
Uh-huh.
And we also have programs and patterns. For example, a belief in poverty, or my family was poor, so I'll be poor. And then believing that.
Oh, yes. Or that money is the root of all evil. And so who would want to have a pocket full of evil stuff?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I chose different beliefs, and I healed the beliefs that didn't serve me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, now I want to go back to the sexual trauma. So often when there's sexual trauma, we do one of two things. We either go opposite, I don't want any of that,
mm-hmm.
or we confuse sex with love, which is what I did.
Okay.
And I kept looking for love through sex because that's what happened in childhood, you know, someone who loved me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things that need to happen to overcome this. And one is self-acceptance and know everything happens for a reason. We have to love ourselves in spite of it. We have to love all of us.
Yes, unconditional love for self.
Right.
And did you find that through meditation or introspection or keeping journals or?
All of that.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
I read lots of books. Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life.
Oh, absolutely.
Great,
I love Louise Hay.
Great book. That helped me tremendously. But there were other books.
Yes.
And so now I write self-help books, and I have a blog where I have over 1,100 articles.
Really? And you know, I was watching your YouTube channels, both of them. You have some very interesting videos. I encourage people to go online and look you up on YouTube. You can give your URL so that they can find your website as well.
Okay. It's JenniferElizabethMasters.com.
That's JenniferElizabethMasters.com on the internet. And you can find some links. You can to purchase her books or watch videos. Now, let's get back to the recovery from the trauma and self-acceptance. About how long did this journey take for you?
For me, I didn't have a coach. I did it by myself.
Yes.
Over 30 years.
Wow. Wow.
And I was determined. I did not give up. I knew. So I've been married and divorced 4 times.
Okay.
And as I said before, you know, I kept looking for love outside of myself, you
yes.
know, thinking that relationship was going to fill me, that relationship was going to make me happy.
So many people feel the same way. So many people try to find fulfillment through acceptance of another person. Yeah, validation. They try to get their validation, or they hope that someone would love them in the hopes that they would one day learn to love themselves.
And it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So when I started to think of myself as whole, healed, and perfect, rather than broken, like a little broken doll, I did mantras. I love me. I love myself.
Yes.
I'm a radiant being. I'm beautiful. And that's one of the things, is that after molestation, we can feel ugly and not enough. Now, a lot of people feel they're not enough.
That's terrible. Yeah. Feelings of inadequacy are terrible. And they can get you to mistreat yourself and also mistreat others. Because you're not acting from a space of love. You're acting from a space of fear. If you are feeling inadequate, if you don't have a good sense of self-worth and of course self-efficacy, it can be very difficult to treat yourself right. And without realizing it, because that's the standard of how you treat yourself, it'll be difficult for you to treat others right as well.
And there's lots of different ways we can mistreat ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We can work too much.
Yep.
We can accept abuse.
That's right.
We could stay up too late and
yes.
not get enough rest. Or we could throw ourselves into a relationship, put the relationship above ourselves, and give up our workouts, give up our money, time, and energy
and
for the other person.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Well, you know, we're reaching the end of our first segment, and I'd like everyone to think about this, because when we get back after these messages, we're going to talk about solutions and how Jennifer Elizabeth Masters found her way out of such a situation and into a position of more self-love and self-acceptance. This is Biomed RX Radio with your host, Devin Lockett, and we'll be back after these messages. Are you ready to make a career change in 2018? Enter the exciting field of healthcare technology management with the Biomed RX Institute. The Biomed RX Institute offers education and training in medical equipment repair. Students learn every aspect of healthcare technology management, including medical equipment repair, calibration, installation, and hospital medical equipment maintenance management. Begin your new career as a biomedical equipment maintenance technician or medical device field service engineer by visiting us online at biomedrxinstitute.com or by calling the Biomed RX Institute today at 909-920-5884. Again, visit us online at biomedrxinstitute.com or call the Biomed RX Institute at 909-920-5884. Paid internships and work study programs are available.
AM 590, The Answer.
We're back with more high-tech, holistic healthcare solutions from the Biomed RX Health Center. This is Biomed RX Radio, and I'm your host, Devin Lockett. I'm interviewing Ms. Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, an author and hypnotherapist and a sex coach, and she's discussing her recovery from a very rough beginning and her blossoming into a state of self-love and self-acceptance so that now she can actually help other people. Please continue.
Well, one of the biggest things that I noticed was the things that I said to myself.
Yes.
And becoming a hypnotherapist gave me insight into how the conscious mind feeds the unconscious. The unconscious mind is where we don't know what's in there.
Yes.
And so I liken the unconscious mind to a boat without a rudder. And a boat without a rudder goes around in circles. Mm-hmm. Just think about obsessive thoughts, obsessing about the same thing. Why did this happen to me? I should have known better. I'm so stupid. What an idiot I am. And those things are abuse.
Absolutely. Self-abuse.
So
negative self-talk is terrible. Yeah.
And it creates illness in the body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Emotions are the product of thought. They start in the head, but they get stored in the body. They do. And you know, in various ways. You know, the subconscious, just so that the audience understands a little bit more, the subconscious mind is comprised of all of the things that we experienced before the age of 7 or 8 or 9, before we developed our critical faculty. before we start realizing that maybe there's not a Santa Claus, you know, maybe there isn't an Easter Bunny and a fairy and a tooth fairy. And so those things don't get filtered by our critical mind, our critical faculty. They just go right into our consciousness. And if we were scripted improperly as children, then we may find ourselves unwittingly repeating very negative patterns as a result of what we've seen or what's happened to us. And yeah, it takes a lot of work to get in there.
It does. And it's interesting because if our conscious mind says it wants something, but the unconscious mind believes that it's too risky or it's too painful or too scary, we can't have it.
Yes. So it's very important to contact and clean those things up.
And I have a way.
Really?
I do.
Please help. Please describe.
Okay. So there are affirmations and mantras, and they're very similar. Using a statement at the right time. Now, that's the key. To be able to access the unconscious mind, there's a gatekeeper, and that gatekeeper, I liken him to a doorman. And if you say a mantra or an affirmation at the wrong time,
okay,
when the doorman is there, he won't let you in. So we have to say these statements when the doorman isn't there.
Wow. Now, how do you do that?
Well, you do those when we are doing mundane tasks like stirring a pot on the stove or shaving or putting on makeup or drying our hair, things that we do thousands upon thousands of times in our lifetime, driving the car. So there's also two other times, right as soon as we wake up, that's when our high self is actually connected, and nice. Right before we fall asleep.
Those are two very important times of the day for me as well. Yes. You know, it's important to me when I first get up to take a couple of minutes just to reflect and also to plan, you know, what I call a successful day today. What would I like to do today? But I need to know more about the mantras, because I think that's something that I'd like to employ in my personal routine.
Well, I just want to add that the minute my eyes are open, I say thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for this day. I'm so glad I'm alive, because we never know. We could go to sleep. My ex-husband went to sleep. He was 52, didn't wake up.
Wow, that's scary.
So we never know. Today yes. is a gift.
Tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Absolutely. So we've got to be grateful for what we have if we want anything more to be given to us.
Gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is so powerful, isn't it? It really is.
Not to mention, it makes us feel good. So I'm all about feeling good. And, you know, Wayne Dyer was a client of mine.
Really?
He was. He's still in my phone. I can't delete him.
Wow. I have some of his hypnosis audios.
Yeah, beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So Wayne Dyer's voicemail was, "Hi, I'm Wayne Dyer. I want to feel good." And if you want to leave a message that is something other than feeling good, hang up the phone.
Very good. Very good message.
So it's important for us to feel good. And if something doesn't make us feel good, we shouldn't do it.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I know to be true is that if we continue to do the things that we don't want, that other people want us to do, we could end up with cancer.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I have seen cases, I can't get really specific here, but I've seen cases, especially with cancer, where it appeared like the spiritual death preceded the physical death, you know, even preceded the illness, that you could see at some point, emotionally or psychologically, the person either gave up or adopted an attitude of cynicism or gave into depression or hopelessness or maybe what I would call mediocrity. I really don't know what it is, but there does definitely seem to be an emotional and spiritual component to that particular disease, especially to cancer.
Negativity, resentment,
negativity,
unforgiveness, all of those things are going to just be like a boil inside our body that festers and causes death. So what we need to do is not complain. And if you've ever been around somebody, I got fired from a job once back in Toronto, one of my first jobs. I was so excited to get this job, and I got fired because of my negativity.
Oh, wow, that's terrible.
However, it made me recognize. I didn't know I was negative.
So it was a good wake-up call.
It was a wake-up call, but it didn't wake me up.
It didn't.
It took a couple more stronger wake-up calls as I went along. But I was reminded of that. So if our family's negative, we may have to try, like I did, even harder to be positive. So it's important to say things to ourselves, like loving things. I love me. I am enough.
Yes.
I am worthy. I am deserving. So those are the mantras that I used to heal my life. I am safe, because safety when you've been molested is a big thing.
Absolutely. That's especially as a child. That's the first thing.
Right.
The people you're supposed to trust are violating a trust and putting you in grave danger.
And I'm glad you brought up trust, because trust is broken in childhood, and it's one of the hardest things to get back. And when we don't trust others, we don't trust ourselves. And then we don't trust God, the universe, and anyone else either.
The God view, a person's God view is very, very crucial. And if they do lose that touch, and they can say source or the universe or the force, you can use whatever terminology you want. But when you lose your faith and the fact that you are in a benevolent universe, that you are enclosed in a benevolent universe, supported by a benevolent universe, then everything kind of falls apart for you, doesn't it?
Yes, but the opposite is true. If you know that you are always protected by God, that you are always, your life is always being orchestrated by God and the universe. And I have something to share about that.
Please do.
So when we make a statement like, nobody loves me, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'll never have love, the universe, God, will send us situations that prove that we are right.
It would reinforce that.
Yes.
Reinforce that negative. What you're casting out into the universe is what's coming back at you.
Yes. And unfortunately, when we feel like a victim, we don't recognize that.
And victimhood is terrible, because when a person feels like they're a victim, they justify everything.
We make excuses.
Mm-hmm. They make excuses for everything. That's not a good place to go.
No, I've been there, though. I have done all of these things.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that you actually were able to find your way out, and that the mantras were good, as well as the hypnotherapy.
And energy healing.
And energy healing. Mm-hmm. Now, when you say energy healing, what type of energy modalities were you using?
I was trained in 2007 in spiritual response therapy. And this beautiful man, Richard Detzler, created it. And I've gone on to expand it to something greater than what I was taught.
Yes.
But what it does is it shifts programs, beliefs, and negativity from the root.
Really? So you go back to the early times, the pre-8 years old, pre-7, that time when the scripts were being written.
It's all in the body.
It's all still in the body, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I studied something very similar with Stephanie Richmond, who was on a couple of shows earlier, and I know that this is very powerful. Belief reformation is a very powerful thing. Here we are. We're coming up on the first half of our show. I wanted to let everyone know that if you are suffering from anxiety or stress or depression, that you can find help with neurofeedback therapy as well at the Biomed RX Health Center. We're at the corner of Foothill Boulevard and Mountain Avenue in the city of Upland, 916 North Mountain Avenue, Suite D1. Upland 91786. You can call us at 909-608-2880 or visit us at biomedrxhealthcenter.com. We will be back after these messages with more Jennifer Elizabeth Masters.
You're listening to Biomed RX Radio. And now a message from our sponsors.
VidSearch Marketing is a company that provides internet marketing services for companies in the Inland Empire and throughout Southern California. They can put any website at the top of the search engine results for any search criteria. This means any product or service you offer in your targeted location or locations. They do search engine optimization, social media marketing, and web video production and optimization. They are a local company that prides itself on providing excellent customer service to their clients. Right now, they are offering a special. To learn more, contact VidSearch Marketing at vidsearchmarketing.com or call 909-566-2475. That is vidsearchmarketing.com or call 909-566-2475.
AM 590. The answer.
We're back with more Biomed RX Radio, high-tech, holistic healthcare solutions from the Biomed RX Health Center. I am your host, Devin Lockett, and today we're interviewing Ms. Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, author of Orgasm for Life, life coach, sex coach, hypnotherapist, and all-around wonderful person. So where were we when we went to the break? What were we talking about?
We were talking about the things we say to ourselves and how we can change our beliefs.
Yes, belief systems and self-talk. This is very, very important.
So one of the things that I want to address is that, and I work with women and men who don't believe in love, and they're having challenges with love. So we can't have love if we don't believe in it.
This is true.
And we can't have love if we feel like it's going to hurt us. And so we've got to overcome our fears.
Yes. Yes. And that's easier said than done for a lot of people.
But that's what I help people do.
Great. Great. You know, maybe you should work with me because I've been concentrating so much on being a good dad and taking care of my kids that, just to be candid, I've been ignoring that aspect of my life. And at my age, I don't want to go to the bars. Don't want to do that. I am single, ready to mingle, for those of you out there in radio land. But I don't want to go to the club scene.
Okay,
or
ladies.
Like that.
Devin's a really handsome dude here with a great radio voice.
Thank you.
I can only imagine that you could whisper sweet nothings into someone's ear.
Yeah, yes. I think I can do that. If the situation calls for it, definitely.
So I'd like to talk about that for a moment because you're my perfect client.
Thank you.
One of the things that we have a tendency to do is to go in one direction and not be in balance. We may spend our time at the gym and not do the spiritual work. Or we may spend all our time meditating and, you know, sitting, praying and doing om all day, but we're not getting out socializing.
That's my case.
So we have to be in balance.
Yes.
And we have to have a balance across the board. So eating well, drinking enough water, getting to bed on time, you know, self-care.
Yes.
And there's lots of ways that we can meet people other than the internet and bars.
I know.
Do you want me to give you a few suggestions?
Please do. Quality people.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Quality people.
So I'm going to give everybody listening a mantra.
Okay.
So whether you're a man or a woman, I meet high quality, and you can fill in the blank, women or high quality men effortlessly and easily.
I meet high quality women effortlessly and easily?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'll say that to myself a few hundred times on the way home.
So when we do that, we will start to attract people that meet us energetically.
Okay.
You may find you're standing in the grocery store and somebody makes a comment about your carrots or the broccoli in your cart. Or you may be backing out of the parking lot and somebody walks by and says hello. So there's lots of different places that we can meet people. We just have to be open to receive.
That's what it is, right? It's always like acres of diamonds is what they say, right? Acres of diamonds in your own backyard.
Yes.
You just have to be open to seeing them. You don't have to travel across the world.
One of the things is that, and I recently met someone in Scotland, so but you can meet people wherever you go.
Okay.
We have to look up. We have to be aware. And we have to smile at people.
Ah, That's important.
We have to be receptive. So we can be people pleasers, give too much, but not be able to receive.
Yes.
We need to be able to give and receive. So I help people with whatever fears that they have, uncovering them, clearing them. Mm-hmm. And I also give people, I'm like bumper pads for your life. You know, have you ever played bowling with a child?
Oh, of course. I take my son. Well, I don't want to give a plug to the bowling alley, but I take my son to the bowling alley almost every weekend.
Okay.
And I do use the bumpers for him.
Well, I do. I use bumper pads too for myself. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm a terrible bowler. I love bowling, but I'm not good at it. So we have to have fun in our life.
Yes.
So we could join a meetup group that does hiking or a dance group. Contra dancing is a fun way to meet people. There used to be one in Lancaster.
Contra dancing.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds interesting.
It's a community type of dance, and you change partners all the time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Kind of like square dancing?
Kind of. It's a community type of dance. There was one in Boulder, Colorado at the Avalon. A plug for the Avalon. I used to do that. It was a lot of fun.
Wow. Wow. So I guess meetup groups would be good. I have been exploring meetups. I'm here in the Inland Empire. Most of the meetups that I've been dealing with have to do with holistic health and energy healing and autism, you know, trying to help people with autism or PTSD. But, you know, a good friend of mine told me that fundraisers were a good place to meet people at
altruistic people,
yes. Similar interests.
Yes.
And yeah.
So that's another one. Like-minded people find me easily and effortlessly.
Like-minded people find me easily and effortlessly. I hope you guys are writing this down out there, or at least turning the radio up if you're driving in a car so you can start repeating this to yourself while you're driving.
So the beliefs that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to talk about sex.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
So for women, you know, as we get older, mm-hmm. a lot of women have turned off that button.
That's a terrible thing.
And there's a lot of reasons why. So women either during menopause or after may have decided they're not interested. Men and women are very different. We're wired differently. Men are wired to, I liken men to race cars like Ferraris. They get revved up quickly.
Yes.
And women are like crockpots, slow cookers.
Takes time to warm up.
A lot of time.
Yes.
And the older we are, the longer the time. And I will also say that sex begins not in the sexual parts, but in the brain.
Yes.
So loving thoughts, having someone tell you you're beautiful and lovely and you smell good. I mean, compliments will help to warm a woman up a lot.
I've learned that over time.
Yes, but there's a lot of other ways. You know, conversing, being able to communicate. If we can't communicate verbally, we won't be able to communicate in the bedroom.
Wow, now that's very important. I didn't realize that, but relationships are about communication, 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, I was raised by my parents, obviously, but my mother was raised by her grandmother, a Russian-Ukrainian grandmother.
Yeah.
And so she used to call it, trying to think, what was the word? Sexual intercourse. And if you look at that word, intercourse means communication.
Ah, like discourse. Right.
Yes.
Right.
So we need to look at sex as a form of communication and be able to make eye contact with our partner and talk about what we like first.
You know, so many people suffer in their sexual relationships because they don't want to ask for what they want. And they don't want to express what they don't want.
Which is why I wrote this book. Because so many women, especially, now I think men are more adept at being able to talk about it.
Yes.
And describe what they want in great detail. And that's what I talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of women would rather clam up than talk about it.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that's across the board.
No.
But the other thing is as we get older... women have a tendency to think that all relationships are going to be like their past ones.
Yeah, I've seen some of that, where people bring baggage from previous relationships into their present relationship. That's terrible, but it does happen.
We have to be open-minded and know that something better is out there. And dating isn't, that's another thing, is that dating, you know, in this day and age is very different than it was 25 years ago.
Yes, I know. It's today it's swipe left and swipe right.
Well, and people don't get a chance to know you.
No, they don't.
And I've noticed there's a very quick error. It's judgment.
Oh, yes. Very quick judgment. We're in the internet society now, so people make up their minds about you with one post you might make or one thing that you might share on the internet. And then they're just, oh, well, you're this kind of person. I'm just not going to deal with you anymore because,
right.
Yeah.
And because one person was maybe not good to them, that all, let's just say, I'll say women, all right. Men are jerks, or right. All women are gold diggers. I mean, that is a judgment. It's right. Not true.
Or all men are untrustworthy, or all women are untrustworthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
any terrible. Kind of judgment will block us from having what we want.
So we have to remain open, and we have to look at each relationship afresh, anew.
Right.
And give a person a chance to be themselves.
Absolutely. Get to know them.
Yes.
So the first thing, though, I want to go back to trauma.
Okay.
So if we've had trauma, we have a tendency to run away from ourselves. And the first person we have to get to know is us. We have to fall in love with who we are to have someone else fall in love with us.
Very important. The most important first step.
Right.
Finding a way to love yourself. Finding a way to love the good qualities inside of yourself.
Well, not just the good, all of us.
Unconditional love for self. This is true.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's one of the things that I noticed myself doing. I loved these parts, but I wasn't so happy with these.
Exactly. You know, we're going to go over this a little bit more after the break. After these messages, we're going to come back with Jennifer Elizabeth Masters and talk more about finding self-love after these messages. Are you ready to make a career change in 2018? Enter the exciting field of healthcare technology management with the Biomed RX Institute. The Biomed RX Institute offers education and training in medical equipment repair. Students learn every aspect of healthcare technology management, including medical equipment repair, calibration, installation, and hospital medical equipment maintenance management. Begin your new career as a biomedical equipment maintenance technician or medical device field service engineer by visiting us online at biomedrxinstitute.com or by calling the Biomed RX Institute today at 909-920-5884. Again, visit us online at biomedrxinstitute.com or call the Biomed RX Institute at 909-920-5884. Paid internships and work study programs are available.
AM 590, The Answer.
We're back with more high-tech holistic healthcare solutions on Biomed RX Radio. I am your host, Devin Lockett, and we are here with Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, life coach, sex coach, and author and hypnotherapist, author of the book Orgasm for Life. And before the break, we were discussing finding ways to develop unconditional self-love by developing love for yourself, the good, the bad, and the ugly, then we would be able to find other people who can embrace us unconditionally as well. And I think that's very, very good advice, right?
One of the things that a lot of people are not aware of is that relationships are a mirror to our soul. They're a mirror for what is going on inside of us. So we have a tendency, something is triggered in ourselves and we point our finger at the other person and you did this to me and you made me angry and we blame them. But if we are triggered, it is our issue, not theirs.
Yes.
The other thing is that if we feel that the other person is trying to control us, then we have an issue with control also. I have another one. I want to take it another step further.
Okay.
This is a really big one. And having done this myself, and all of these things I've encountered myself.
Okay.
So most people attract at some time a person who is emotionally unavailable.
Oh, wow. Yes, this is true. And it seems to be very common and popular these days because so many people are in, you know, this is the internet age. Everybody's in front of a screen or staring at their phone. And, you know, I even go out and see people on dates and they're both staring at their respective phones. And it's like, wow, you know, you would think maybe these restaurants should put a basket at the edge of the table, you know, padded. You know, so that you can, everybody just throw your phone in there so that we could spend time sitting and looking at each other.
But I was just in Colorado for my daughter's 22nd birthday. There were seven people at that table in a sushi restaurant. No phones.
No phones.
No phones.
Very good.
Yeah. So we have a rule in our household. And, you know, we all have businesses. Every one of my family members has a business.
Yes.
So we put the phone aside. And we connect. So disconnection is different, though, than emotional unavailability. It's a component. But being emotionally unavailable means we fear intimacy.
Into me, see, right?
Yes.
See into me. Okay.
So where that comes from is a fear of having someone get to know us or getting to know us on a deep level.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid that if someone sees who we truly are, and how do I know this? Because that was me a long time ago.
Okay.
I was afraid that someone would not love me if they saw who I was.
Wow. Yeah. So you're afraid that if they knew the real you, that they wouldn't accept the real you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people feel that way. I think that's why a lot of people put on the front, put on a facade for the public or.
We all have flaws and we all have beautiful qualities and gifts.
Yes.
So the trick is to embrace all of us and know there's not another person on the planet that's like us.
Yes, this is true. We are unique.
We tend to compare ourselves. We look at people that we see on the internet and, you know, being a coach and an energy healer, I have long time ago, I used to compare myself to other people. And when we do that, we feel inadequate.
Yes.
So we shouldn't do that.
No, it's terrible.
I have a little, it's my Jenniferism, my Jen's gem.
Uh-huh.
And what other people think of you is none of your business.
This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
This is absolutely true. And you can't really compare yourself to someone else because you don't know what's going on in that person's life or in their heart.
Well, and no two people are alike anyway.
This is true. Not even twins.
True. So the more we love ourselves, the more accepting we can be for ourselves, the more able we can be to ask for what we want.
Yes.
The better our relationships become.
So we've got affirmations and mantras and working on self-acceptance, right? Very good. That's a very good foundation. And then, with that, we can attract people. Now, what about when that person does come into your life and you feel really good about them and they feel good about you and those really exciting early stages? What's the best way to handle it?
Well, the best way to handle a new relationship is to be authentic. Be real. Be yourself. Be true to you. Because if you try to please somebody else, you're going to be the one that's unhappy. And the other thing about that is that at some point you'll feel like you've lost yourself. So please yourself first. Be true to you. Be honest and authentic.
Now, when you say please yourself first, what does that mean exactly?
It means that if you go out with someone and it doesn't feel right, have the guts to say, you know, you're a really nice fella. I really like you, Devin, but you know what? I don't think that we're a good match. I think that there's somebody out there better suited for you than me.
You know, I think when you have to say that or when you say that, 9 out of 10 times, the other person is kind of feeling that too.
Right.
But they may be afraid to say it, and or they may be denying it to them from themselves. They may, you know, be denying it inside. And even though it may appear painful at first, or like a rejection is always painful. I think there's a little bit of relief that goes on inside of, you know, when that closure takes place, that, well, yeah.
So what I say is rip the Band-Aid off.
Rip it off quickly.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Hair is enough.
And do it quickly, because otherwise we're wasting the other person's time and we're putting someone in place as a placeholder that will stop anyone that is better for us or right for us to come in.
Yes, yes.
So the other end of the spectrum is I've worked with women who have accepted marriage proposals from men they did not love because they thought, well, there's probably nobody else out there for me. I might as well take him.
Wow, that's terrible. That's really scary. You know, I often wonder how many proposals are accepted just because they were done in public and they didn't want to embarrass a guy in front of everybody at the restaurant or wherever it took place.
Well, there's a lot of pressure to do that. I don't recommend you propose in public. I think a proposal is a private affair.
Yes, it is.
But that's my opinion.
Yes. Or maybe the proposal can be done in private if you're absolutely sure the person's going to say yes, and presenting the ring can be done in public.
Yes. Well, I know there was one done at a sports arena on one of those great big screens, and she rejected the proposal.
Wow. What a diss. I imagine that's something that, and on the screen, so that there's a tape of it.
He went on to make a movie about
really?
It. Mm-hmm. He did. He did.
Well, wow. Yeah, you have to know that, you should at least have a good feeling that she's going to say yes.
Well, it would be good if you both loved each other, and I think that's something that's perceptible. You feel it.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you know if you have a future with someone.
So that brings me back to this book and faking it.
Okay.
So I don't believe in faking anything. I don't think that we should fake anything.
Absolutely.
So we don't fake, you know, what we're just talking about, but you don't fake love either. You don't pretend to be in love.
No, you don't.
And why? Because we can hurt someone else. It's much better to say, could you do this for me? Or could you do it this way? And teach each other what you like.
Yes. Yes. Now, I have to admit, you know, personally, I think I'm the kind of person that they say is honest to a fault, which is good and kind of bad because it kind of keeps things from getting off the ground because I'm straight up front from the very beginning.
I just think you haven't found the right person yet. And I think when you do, it's going to take off.
You know, let's cross our collective fingers.
I know there's someone out there for you. And when things don't work out for one person, just know there's someone out there. There's another door that's going to open. You know, when one door closes, another one opens.
This is true.
And the next one around the corner is going to be even better for you.
This is true. And we've got, 7 billion people on the planet now.
And that I would like to just address.
Yes.
So there's so many people out there that say, I'm looking for the one. Thinking that there is only one person out there for you is very limiting. Because when you think about it, the sheer numbers.
Yes.
There's millions of people.
Yes, there's millions. And yes, that's true. There are millions of people.
And let me just say, too. So the other thing is that if we think I can only date a white guy or I can only date a black guy or I can
terrible.
Only date a Latino.
Yeah.
No, if you open, and of course, everybody's entitled to what they wish for themselves. But when we open up and go with unlimited possibilities, there's so many more options.
This is true. And yes, I can attest to that. I have 3 beautiful children of 3 different flavors, let's just say.
So you have availed yourself to the unlimited opportunities.
Absolutely.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you very much, Jennifer, for coming on the show. We've been talking with Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, the author of Orgasm for Life, and on Biomed Rx Radio. You can go to JenniferElizabethMasters.com and find out more about her. This has been a very, very good episode. And please buy the book.
On Amazon,
Orgasm for Life. Tune in next week for more high-tech holistic healthcare solutions with Biomed Rx Radio.
That pre-recorded program was sponsored by Biomed Rx Incorporated.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men.